Okay, we're going to go ahead and begin this month's Member Solutions teleconference. The topic today is how to give a seminar on bullying. Now, the reason why I chose this topic was because I've had a lot of requests in the last month from Member Solutions clients and also from Schumann Concept members regarding bullying seminars. Back to school time is probably one of the most successful seasons for a martial arts school because parents are starting to think about ways that they can enhance their child's learning in school and also improve their behavior at home. Whenever a child starts back into the back-to-school season, they always run into common obstacles, mostly emotional obstacles or social obstacles, and that's where we as martial arts instructors can help. Of course, we all know that we can't touch each and every single student in our community as far as martial arts training goes, but we can be active participants in seminars. And one of the most popular seminars that are requested in most schools is a seminar on bullying. We all know that bullying is one of the most common epidemics at school, and I believe that each and every one of us has been a victim of bullying at some time in our life. So a bullying seminar can make a tremendous difference in a child's outlook on school and also their emotional and social competence. Of course, us as martial arts educators, we all have come across students who have been victims bullying and notice the repercussions that follow along when they are bullied. So if we can give a great seminar on bullying and touch base on some key tips, we can make a big difference in that child's life. And that's one of the key reasons why I like to give seminars on bullying. So let's go ahead and get started with the information from the report, and then after I'm done with the report, I'd also like to share with you some other tips that have been working for me most recently in the past few weeks. Let's start with step one. The first thing that you want to do when you set up your seminar on bullying is to create a letter for your teachers, your parents, and your students. Now, I know that in some areas, such as the Northeast area, it's very, very hard to penetrate the school system. If you find it virtually impossible to be able to get into a school system and run a seminar on bullying, then the best alternative is to run a seminar on bullying at your actual school. As a matter of fact, a couple hours before this phone call, I was actually speaking with one of my Schumann Concept clients who did so in California. This past weekend, she ran a seminar on bullying at her school, and she got two enrollments out of it, which just makes it a win-win situation all the way around. So let's go ahead and talk about if you are able to get into the school systems, some methods for doing so. Well, the thing that works really well in my school is I have a letter that I give to my students, and the students take that letter to the teacher, requesting an opportunity for me to come in and speak in school. The teacher fills out that letter, returns it to the student, and then the student brings it back to me. Now, it sounds like a lot of work and a lot of responsibility of giving the letter to the kid, hoping that the kid isn't going to lose the letter before they give it to the teacher, and then, of course, hoping the teacher fills it out and hoping the teacher returns it to the student and hoping the student remembers to return it to me. It is a lot of responsibility, but I tell you honestly, we really get fantastic results with the letter. So if you are having problems with getting your students to turn the letters in and receiving the letters back, then that's when you want to make sure that you do book a 20-minute consultation with me so that I can go over some do's and don'ts as far as the processing works. If you are in an area where you can get into the school systems, but you're having a very hard time setting up a seminar on bullying, there's a couple of things that you can do to be proactive. The number one way to do it is to have parents get involved, speaking with the teachers and also speaking with the principals, expressing the desire to have a seminar. We already know that the seminar on bullying is very advantageous to the students and to the schools. Of course, sometimes principals and teachers have a little bit of apprehension about bringing martial arts instructors into their school. Some of the apprehensions include the teachers and the principals concerned about what we're going to teach them. Are we going to teach them some kind of methods of fighting that are actually going to make them a little bit more aggressive, which can actually potentially be retroactive? Or safety measures? Are they going to be doing things or teaching them certain techniques that can potentially injure them during the seminar, which would leave us as the principal or teacher liable? With that said, then you definitely want to make sure that you're able to overcome those objections by telling them, We're not going to teach any kind of self-defense in this particular seminar, and the information that we are teaching is going to be safe. And if you need to guarantee it, then you can do so. With that said, let's go on to number two, which is putting your seminar format together. If you read the report that I included in the Member Solutions material, you're going to notice that the primary meat of the seminar is all on just lecture. It's not necessarily talking about how to avoid a punch or how to evade a push or anything like that. No physical methods. And I think that that's very important to keep in consideration. Should you or shouldn't you teach them anything physical? In my personal opinion, and of course opinions can differ, but in my personal opinion, I think that teaching any kind of physical activities or techniques regarding bullying can be, number one, very dangerous because teachers are right, the safety factor comes in. Number two, I don't want it to be retroactive in the sense that kids run around and start beating each other up because that's not my intentions. But also number three, I think that teaching them physical aspects of bullying is all part of the actual martial arts training. And it requires a little bit of discipline. It requires a little bit of confidence. It requires a little bit of physical capabilities. So with that said, I don't want to prematurely teach any kind of physical techniques that children may use in the wrong way or potentially get hurt. So I prefer to do a lecture on bullying and then, of course, extend my offer. If you do want to learn physically how to defend yourself, then, of course, that's when you want to jump into the martial arts program. And you'll definitely learn a lot of physical aspects of how to defend yourself. Let me go back, though. Let's talk about the seminar format. Now, here I just jotted down the notes that I use in my bullying seminar. Every single bullying seminar that I've seen as far as other martial arts scholars and instructors goes differs based on your personal opinion. So this outline that I give you definitely is not set in stone, and it definitely is not me saying that this is what you should teach. This is what I prefer to teach because I find that these are the topics that I seem to be covering when I'm talking to parents on the day-to-day basis about bullying. So let me go ahead and cover these first. And then, of course, at the end of the teleseminar, if you want to give some feedback, I'd be more than happy to hear what you have to say. But let's talk about bully defense on the bus. I have a lot of students I've had several occasions where students have been on the bus and they've ran into problems with bullying. So these are the top three tips that I'd like to cover with the students when I'm doing my lecture. Number one, if you're sitting here in front of the bus, you're less likely to have a bully pick on you. That's kind of common sense. Number two, don't stay silent. Sometimes kids are very apprehensive about approaching an adult because they're afraid that it's going to increase the aggressiveness of the bully. Well, I think the total opposite. I think that if you do stay silent, you allow yourself to be more victimized. So I tell my students, if you are on a bus and you are being bullied, don't stay silent. Make sure you stand up. Make sure you ask them to stop. Maybe distract them by using a little bit of personality or asking them questions. And, of course, make sure that you tell your teacher, tell your bus driver if it becomes a problem because you don't want it to linger on and potentially get worse. And then, of course, tip number three, sit with friends. There's definitely strengths in numbers. You're less likely to be singled out if you're sitting alone if you're sitting with others. You want to make sure that you have friends that you can talk with, because if you don't talk with people and you're sitting by yourself, that's when bullies like to pick on people. So if you don't have any friends on the bus, then this is a great opportunity to meet new friends. Mingle with the kids on the bus. Get to know some kids and make sure that you have friends. That way you don't get singled out. Let me go back to bully defense at lunch. Here's a couple of tips that can help improve or help decrease the possibility of getting bullied on. Number one, move your seat. In certain schools, there definitely are seat assignments, and you can ask the parents to move you, and if they don't allow you to move, then make sure you tell your parents so that they can follow up. Sometimes just moving your seat can make a big difference. Number two, sit close to an adult. If you are a child and you're getting bullied in the lunchroom and you're not around an adult, then it's not going to get any better potentially. But if you sit by an adult, you definitely will increase your chances of being a lot safer. And, of course, tip number three, be the first one to enter the lunchroom, the first one to leave. The longer you linger around, the more opportunities you open yourself up to. of course, I also like to cover bully defense in the hallways, and this is all about awareness. Always make sure you're aware of who's ahead of you. If there is somebody who's picking on you and you see them in front of you, don't just walk right past them. Just stay behind. It doesn't mean that you're chicken. It means that you're smart, that you want to avoid conflict. And, of course, just passing them in the hallway is going to increase that opportunity to start conflict. So just sit back, relax, and don't feel like you're chicken because you're doing so. You're just being really smart. Tip number two, always be aware of who's behind you. That's very important when you're walking around. Make sure you know your boundaries. Make sure you know your surroundings. And if you do see a bully ahead of you, stop and let them pass. Or divert yourself to an area where there is an adult supervision so that there's no potential conflict there. And then, of course, tip number three, if a bully is waiting for you in a specific area every single day, then common sense tip would be to take a different path to your class. Even if it takes a little bit longer, it can definitely decrease your chance of having a conflict. And, of course, also keep in mind that if you do take a different path to avoid a bully, you're not doing so because you're chicken. You're doing so because you're smart, because you want to avoid conflict. Bully defense online, this is something that I wanted to touch base on. I've only had one parent speak about this, but with the internet growing as fast as it is, I wanted to make sure that I start touching base with this in my bully seminars. Number one, bully defense online is if you get somebody who's sending you mean and nasty messages, don't send them back a nasty message. You're just going to feel the flame. And then, of course, number two, if you're in a chat room and people are making fun of you, then don't go back in there. Tip number three, if you are getting any kind of threatening messages, it definitely is important that you do print them out so that you can show an adult just in case the situation potentially gets any worse. At least you have evidence that you are the victim here. And then, of course, number four, report any inappropriate messages to your parents and your online provider. Internet safety is starting to become a big issue, and there are definitely ways to protect yourself. The only way, though, that you can protect yourself is if you bring it to other people's attention. So keep that in mind. Okay, I also like to touch base on bully defense in general. These are kind of common sense tips that we always tell our students, and I want to make sure that I cover these in my bully seminar. Tip number one, don't exchange insults with bullies. This will only make them try harder. Tip number two, don't accept getting teased to fit in with a popular group. This is very common. As a matter of fact, ironically enough, yesterday I was talking with a parent of a sibling who isn't even a student. Her little brother goes to our school. But the parent's really upset with her because she allows the kids to pick on her because she wants to be part of their group. And I told the parent, that's kind of funny because I just did a report on this. And it seems to be very common for kids to allow themselves to be victimized just so that they can keep in with the popular group. Well, I don't think that that's very smart. I think that shows a lack in self-esteem. And I think that just having us as adults reinforcing, you don't have to do that to be in the popular group. It's not very smart. It shows low self-esteem, and you're much better than that. Sometimes that can really help make a big difference if they hear it coming out of their parents' mouth or if they hear it coming out of a role model's mouth. So as a matter of fact, tomorrow when my younger student comes to class, I'm going to sit down and talk with his older sister and just tell her you don't have to put up with it just to be part of the popular group. You're better than that. You don't. It shows low self-esteem, and it's not fair to other people because if you allow them to pick on you, then that means they're probably going to be picking on other people too. So keep that in mind. And I think me telling her that and just it coming out of my mouth is probably going to make a big, big difference. Let's go on to tip number three. Immediately report bullying or harassment. You know, there's so many times where kids don't want to be the tattletale in school, and I totally agree. I don't like when kids tattle on other kids for something that is not significant to their health or their safety. But I think that bullying is something totally different. Now there's a fine line between what's bullying and what isn't bullying. If somebody just kind of picks on you for the day or picks on what you wear or just says a comment to you, that may not necessarily mean that you need to tell the teacher. But if you're seeing a bully consistently saying things to you and maybe even consistently physically threatening you or verbally threatening you, then it is your duty to tell a parent or a teacher because you don't know how many other students are victims as well. And if you do stand up and you do tell the parents and you do tell teachers about these bullies, then you're not just saving yourself, but you're probably saving a lot of other kids, and that makes you a hero. And I like to say that to kids, telling them that they are a hero if they stand up for themselves. Sometimes they feel like they look at it a different way. They look at if they tattle or if they avoid a bully, that they're being chicken. And I totally disagree. I think that if you stand up and you tell a parent or adult, or if you avoid conflict by taking a different route or by not intentionally crossing paths with a bully, I think you're being a hero to yourself and potentially other students because you're trying to avoid conflict. And it's always smarter to avoid a conflict than engage in a conflict. So with that said, there's also some really smart ways that you can handle bullies. And, of course, not every student is intellectually, emotionally, or socially capable of using really good comeback lines, but it never hurts to throw this out, and it's always good that you practice. And the more you practice, the better opportunity or the better you'll be if you are faced with a bully, which we all are faced with bullies sooner or later in life. But here's some good comeback lines that people can say in order to detract bullies. Here's the comeback lines. Number one, why do you waste your time saying that stuff to me? Well, when you say something like that to a bully, most of the time they're going to say something even dumber back, which is going to make them not feel so tough. Number two, those things are ridiculous, but whatever. Just basically blowing them off. Number three, I don't do this to you. You should really think about what kind of person you're acting like. Number four, I'm not sure why you keep saying these things to me, but it really doesn't matter. Number five is just take it all in and say, okay, you finished. Number six saying, that's funny, but now I'm bored. And then, of course, the last one, here we go again. Tell me when you're done. And I think these comeback lines are really cool. They're very smart. They definitely don't engage in any kind of negative conflict with the student. It's just basically saying, okay, you feel better. You got it all out of your chest. And sometimes it just takes a simple phrase, like one of these phrases, to make a bully feel dumb and make the bully not enjoy picking on you. So those kind of comeback lines, this is where you can actually probably get into some really good role-playing. If you have enough time in your bullying seminar, whether it's in the classroom at your school, this is where I would spend a lot of my time on, doing some role-playing. Well, let's go ahead on to step number three, and that's following up with your attendees. Like I said, I don't like to teach the physical aspect of self-defense for bullying to students or non-students. I prefer to keep that for the classroom so that, number one, I can teach them a little bit of self-discipline first to make sure that they're not going to use it in the wrong way. Number two, I want to make sure they're physically capable of using these physical tactics. And number three, I want to make sure they're emotionally capable of using these physical techniques. And then, of course, socially, it's always very important to keep them in a positive environment so that there's no anxiety or intimidation factors going on. And with that said, there's also a lot of other things that I recommend that you can do to increase your results of getting or capitalizing on the bully seminars. Create promotional items, and some items that I recommend are have bookmarks, pencils, book covers, anything that you can give to the students that distributes your school information. Because if you do touch a really good nerve in students that you talk to, whether it's at your school in a seminar or at a public school, and they really like your message and they feel comfortable with you as an adult, then you potentially can save them by bringing them into your school, enrolling them as a student, and they may feel comfortable coming to you with any kind of questions or concerns that they have. So following up is very important. I also recommend as another follow-up is maybe have follow-up dates for seminars where you can bring them back in and do like a level two bullying seminar. Level two bullying seminar can include more age-appropriate tips on how to handle bullies because the older you get, of course, the different kind of bullying that you're going to come across. So this is the overview of how to give a seminar on bullying. There's definitely so many different topics I can touch on when we're talking about bullying, but in my personal opinion, the information that I provided to you in this member solutions report is actually pretty good. It's pretty resourceful, and I've been using it recently at the schools, and I've gotten nothing but positive feedback. Not only have I gotten really good feedback from the students and the parents and the teachers, but I also personally felt very, very comfortable teaching these topics at my actual bully seminars. It's very easy to take the information that's here, apply your personality and apply your charisma, and really make it not just a informative event, but a pretty fun and entertaining event. So that's always very important. Definitely don't want to go out there and be very dry when you're talking to students, because they might not listen to the message that you're delivering. And we all know it's an important message. So the more personality that you can add to it, the more body language and animation you can add to it, the better chance you're going to captivate the kids' attentions and potentially save their life. And I mean save their life more on an emotional and a social level. So with that said, let me go ahead and switch gears now, and let's talk about some other things that we can capitalize on as far as back to school goes. Because I've been getting a lot of questions from people saying, well, what kind of things can I do for the back to school season? Well, if you look in your Member Solutions archives, somewhere back there, there was a teleconference that had back to school tips and ideas. I pulled up the report that I did, and I actually even forgot that I provided this to Member Solutions, and so it was brought to my attention. But I want to cover these ideas one more time and share with you the results that I've gotten most recently. So if you're ready, let me go ahead and get started with this part. Idea number one, back-to-school fundraiser. I like doing the back-to-school supply drives. It's a lot of fun. It gives my students an opportunity to earn stars. It gives me an opportunity to teach my students about philanthropy. We run our martial arts school like a very tight ship. We're very professional. It's a very good business. But I want my students and my family and I want my community to feel like I'm not just trying to run a business. I'm actually trying to run an organization that helps our community the best that we possibly can. And one very cool way that we can contribute back to our community is through the school supply drive. So basically what I do at my school is for every 5 school supply items that you donate, I'm going to give you a star in your uniform. And these stars, of course, the more stars they collect, the more opportunities they have to earn new patches and earn trophies and so forth. Also, what I like to do with our schools, we're having a contest. The class that donates the most school supplies, I'm going to throw a really cool pizza party at my school, and I'm allowing them to each invite one friend, which is also a very cool opportunity. It's a win-win there. We reward our students for their philanthropy. We win because we're providing our community with some school supplies for the underprivileged kids. And then also number three, by throwing a pizza party and allowing them to bring their friends in, it gives their friends an opportunity to see what we're all about in a non-intimidating environment. Because pizza parties are very fun. They're very casual. They're not necessarily as strict as a formal class can go, so that means it's not as intimidating. So it really helps them drop their guard a little bit and get to know us on a more personal level. And hopefully if they like us and they like the school and they like what they see, then they're going to want to join our school as well. So school supply drives, again, are very good for your community. The best way to capitalize on the school supply, maximize the success of the school supply drive, is to contact your local PTA organizations and get them involved. Ask them, you can set up a formal presentation, what your school supply has done, where you donate all your school supplies to the PTA. You can even get a little bit of publicity out of it by writing a press release, either before or during or, you know, even after the event, to let the public know that, hey, we are here in a community, and we're not only a business in the community, but we're an active supporter of our local community. Now, just while I'm talking about press releases and so forth, just to touch base on that, you know, every time I send out a press release to my local newspapers and to my local media list, I don't necessarily intend on getting a student directly from that press release. In other words, I don't expect a parent to be reading the St. Pete Times and see that On the Mat Martial Arts collected over 500 school supply items for the local community and put the paper down and run and pick up the phone and call me. But I do want it to be sitting in their head, because we talk about marketing all the time. I think every single teleconference I cover, I say the 10 times rule. Somebody really has to hear about your business 10 times before they take interest in your product or service. So with that said, I just want this press release to hit one of those 10 times. I want them to drive by my school and see it, get my direct mail pieces, get my flyers, hear that I ran a fantastic bullying seminar in their kids' class, pick up the paper and read the newspaper and see, hey, we also support our community by doing school supply drives. And then maybe down the road they child receive a referral card, or they're chatting with one of their friends saying, I've been wanting to put my kid in martial arts, and where do you go? And they say, Automat Martial Arts, and they say, you know what? I hear nothing but great things about them. That's really what I do my press releases for. It's because I like when people come in and I say, how did you hear about us? And they say, well, you know, I know where your location is, and I've seen your ads, and I've gotten your direct mail pieces, and I've just heard nothing but great things about your school. That nothing but great things about your school is what my goal is as far as marketing goals, and also what my PR director's goal is in her particular duties and responsibilities. Her main goal is to make On the Mat Martial Arts one of the coolest schools in the area, and we do so by doing a lot of good things, and this is a great way that we can spread the word through local community service. But let me go on to idea number two. Donate free passes, book covers, and bookmarkers to the local schools. This is another great way for your school to get exposure. I know here in my area, primarily with the private schools, it's interesting how we can penetrate the private schools more than we can the public. But I've had several parents of several different private schools come to me and ask me for brochures and flyers and passes, so that they can bring them and give them to their class, whether they put them in their cubby or they pass them out with the weekly packages. I've done that on numerous occasions. One of the things that we did this year is everybody who asked us for information that they can distribute to their classmates, we put in a brochure, we put in a VIP pass, and we've also put in a pencil. So that little tangible item just kind of tops it all off. And I tell you honestly, it's really helped us get some enrollments. So keep that in mind. If you don't have promotional items, I highly recommend that you get promotional items. It's a little costly, but at the exact same time, it does generate results. Let me go on to idea number three. Get involved with school talks and demonstrations at the local schools. Well, on top of bullying, another very popular school talk that I do, and if you know me, you know exactly what I'm talking about, is the Yes, I Can speech. It's highly popular here in the area. I anticipate that I'm going to do at least 36 during the whole school year. I like doing the Yes, I Can speech, not necessarily because we generate new students out of it. It's a feel-good speech. There's no better feeling than to go into a school and, of course, be really nervous about the kind of results that you're going to get, and then put out a fantastic motivational performance that's really going to motivate the students and can totally make a difference in their life. And then walking out of that school knowing that you helped your community and you spread a really good message, it makes you look in the mirror and feel like you're a really good martial artist. And sometimes when I feel like I'm overwhelmed, or sometimes when I feel like I'm just so in professional mode because I'm focusing a lot of my energy and effort to my human contest members and to my members' solutions, duties, and responsibilities, it's really good to step into the classroom, give a great speech, and walk out feeling like I'm not just a professional consultant or a professional business person, but I really am a martial artist. So the Yes, I Can speech is one of the great ways to do that. Now, again, just like what I said with the press release, as far as I don't anticipate that somebody's going to put the paper down and run and call my school, I kind of starting to take the approach in the Yes, I Can speech the same way. I don't anticipate that I'm going to go into a class, do a Yes, I Can speech, distribute pencils at the end of class, invite all the students who are in my actual speech to come into my school, and if they bring the pencil, I'll give them a week free. I don't anticipate that I'm going to get tons of students to be knocking around my door or picking up the phone the minute that they get home. Again, what I'm wanting to do is I'm being more patient with my marketing. It's all about the guerrilla marketing concept. I just wanted to add on to that 10 times list. I want them to go home and say, Mom, I had this karate instructor come into my school, and she talked about saying, yes, I can, and not giving up, and it was really cool, and I'm going to go practice my homework and say, yes, I can. That's what I want. I want the parents to say, wow, well, that was very cool. So that when one of my marketing pieces finally catches and brings that student through my door, and I ask them, how did you hear about us? And they say, well, we've heard nothing but great things about you. That's really what I am looking for. I think that those are stronger enrollments, more so than when I say, how did you hear about us? And they say, well, I saw your listing in the phone book. That person I know, I still have a lot of credibility to establish. But the people who come in and say, I heard a number of great things about you, the credibility is already established. And now it's just my duty and responsibility to be able to translate how I can help their child specifically And I've got a lifelong student, or at least a long-term student. And those are the ones that make a big difference. The ones that I have to establish credibility in, those are a little bit harder. They're more challenging. They're more taxing. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that if they enroll that they're going to stick with it. You got to have credibility in order to have long-term students. Let me go ahead and just move on. The idea number four is to make sure that you do have a back-to-school special. You know, just like during Christmas time, electronics go on sale, toys go on sale. Department stores have these big holiday sales because that's when the most people are actually shopping. Same thing with back-to-school time. This is the busiest time of the year, so this is the time that you want to run those fantastic specials. Now, I've mentioned in one of my past teleconferences, as a matter of fact, I can't recall if it was Member Solutions or Schumann Concepts, but I talked about one of my most recent direct mail pieces. I just sent out a direct mail piece in July that was marketing our summer/back-to-school special. And what it was a great offer. At least, like, you know, I was really excited about it. 6 weeks for $99, and you also get a martial arts T-shirt and martial arts pants. Well, we had 15 appointments from that one direct mail piece. And it's so funny because every single person who came in from that direct mail piece, I didn't sign one of them up on the 6 week for $99 special. I signed them all up on the 2 weeks with the T-shirt and martial arts pants for $59.95. But I think that if I would have marketed the 2 weeks with the martial arts T-shirt and martial arts pants for $59.95, I would have got lesser results. So with that said, the back-to-school special offer that I made actually enticed the people to actually pick up the phone and come into the school. And then when they came into the school for their pre-evaluation, and I was able to translate how I can help them specifically, and then also translate how the program works, there was a sense of immediacy for them wanting to get their uniforms and get their belts, and that's why a lot of people took the 2 weeks for $59.95 option. So I guess the point that I'm bringing up here is if you do run the 2 week trial program, which I've been talking to a lot of you, and a lot of you are using the 2 weeks plus the T-shirt and martial arts pants for $59.95, don't think that that is your back-to-school special because you want to do something even more enticing, at least to get them into the door. And then, of course, when you get them into the door, if you're not a big fan of the 6 week concept because it takes too long to get them enrolled, as long as you put on a really good pre-evaluation and as long as you're able to target and translate how you're going to be able to help that child, you can get them enrolled into any program that you want. That's kind of bottom line, and the better that you get at it, the better the results. Let me go ahead and move on to idea number five is host a back-to-school picnic for your students and teachers and classmates. We just did this last month, and the results were incredible. We had a back-to-school picnic at Seminole Lake Park here in my area. We rented a bounce house. We had a slide. We provided all of the meats for the barbecue, and then, of course, we had all of our parents do kind of like a potluck where they all brought in their own food dishes and so forth. We even supplied the paper products. We supplied the drinks. We ran a whole bunch of games, so we supplied the prizes, and we also supplied the equipment for the games. I think all in all, the back-to-school picnic cost me approximately $800 to $900. With that said, the actual event, I think, was extremely successful because not only were we able to get to spend time with our students on a more personal level, we got to meet a lot of the teachers and we got to meet a lot of friends of our students that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to meet. And it's very good to be able to put faces with names on both ends. I like to be able to visually know who the teachers are that my students are working with and vice versa. I want the teachers to kind of get to know me and have a visual of who I am and what I'm like so that they're able to support me as well. So a back-to-school picnic, if you haven't already done so, it's not too late. As a matter of fact, the fall time may be the best time because the weather is starting to get better in certain areas. So I highly recommend it. And, of course, with that said, any kind of questions that you have or additional ideas or additional literature and information that you need regarding running a seminar on bullying or regarding running a seminar on the Yes, I Can speech or back-to-school supply drive or hosting a back-to-school picnic, that's where you want to take advantage of the Member Solutions services. That's where you want to take advantage of them providing you with some top-quality senior consultants such as myself, Renshi Alley, Kathy Marler, Dr. Silverman. Don't be afraid to shoot us over an email. Don't be afraid to book those 20-minute consultations because that's what that service is for. What we want to do here with this teleconference and this report that we send to you is we want to feed you with ideas, whether it's an idea that you already know or an idea that you never heard before, it's always good for a refresher, it's always great for motivation, but then also we want to provide you with additional services. From this point, okay, you like what we had to say, now you want to know additional steps on how to capitalize or maximize the results, that's where you want to take advantage of those additional consulting services, and we are ready and willing to do so. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and open up this teleconference to some questions. Not only questions, but I'd like to hear your comments as well. If you ran a bullying seminar, what worked, what didn't work, or maybe even if you want to expand on the ideas that I provided here, because networking is also a very crucial tool to running a successful business. So if you're sitting tight on the line and you're listening and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, go ahead and unmute your phone right now. And if you'd like to make a question, let's go ahead and get started. Who would like to ask any kind of questions or make any kind of comments?
Are you there?
Yes, yes.
Great. I just want to ask you one question. I actually got on about 10 minutes late. You may have covered this in your anti-bullying seminars. By the way, this is Larry with Atlanta.
Hi, Larry.
And the question I have, when you do the anti-bully seminars, do you actually address the bullies that may be in the class that don't know their bullies and talk about their kind of behaviors and how they can change their behavior?
Oh, absolutely. And actually, Larry, thank you very much for pointing that out. This is definitely more of an ad-lib portion of my seminar because I'm still at the point in my anti-bullying seminar to not really know specifically how to address each crowd on a consistent basis as far as addressing the actual bullies. So what I like to do is I like to give all the bully defense that I provide here, and then I also like to ad lib based on the response that I get from the audience. I definitely like to address the actual bullies who may not know that they're bullies, talking about what constitutes as a bully. Well, let's talk about it. Bullies that call other people names, bullies that maybe pick on other people, bullies that try to gather other people to go against that person, whether it's a personal fallout or your friend doesn't like them, and continue on with that particular topic. As a matter of fact, Larry, now that you're mentioning it, I think that this would make a great follow-up report or some kind of great follow-up material for people. So if you are doing anti-bullying seminars and you do address the bullies specifically in the crowd, whether they know they're a bully or not know they're a bully, and you have some information and ideas you'd like to share, go ahead and send me those emails, and then I'll make sure that I distribute them out to everybody else. So thank you very much, Larry, for that question. Okay, does anybody else have any kind of questions or comments as far as the anti-bullying seminars?
Melody, this is Eric in Atlanta. How you doing?
Good, Eric. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. I had a couple of questions, and one I was thinking about, what age group are you targeting with this format that you've laid out here?
That's a very, very good question. The age group that I primarily target with this particular segment is the elementary school and the middle school. I'm still interested in getting involved with bullying seminars for high schoolers. I can be honest with you and personally say that I'm not very comfortable speaking at high schools primarily because I'm their height.
Yeah.
And high schoolers are just getting smarter and smarter these days. So I have a little bit of anxiety getting in front of them. But this outline is definitely geared towards the elementary and middle school market. And as a matter of fact, one of my Schumann Concept clients, the one who I just said ran one this weekend, what she did is she tied the bullying seminar into an open house, and she ran age-specific classes, and in the last 15 minutes, she ran age-specific bullying ideas or bullying techniques and tips. So what I did is, from the information I provided you guys on this particular report, I wrote out some age-appropriate tips, not just bullying tips, but safety tips as far as children go. And I broke them up by elementary, middle school, and junior high school. So if you are on the line and you are interested in getting even more age-appropriate details on how to approach bullying seminars, go ahead and shoot me over an email, and I'll send you over those tips that I wrote. Just really quickly, if you do not have my email address, it's melody@schumannconcepts.com. And I'll go ahead and spell that out for you. That's M-E-L-O-D-Y at Schumann, S-H-U-M-A-N, Concepts, C-O-N-C-E-P-T-S.com. Now, Eric, you said you had a couple of other questions?
I did. How long are you, when you do this seminar, I mean, what kind of time length or time frame do you look at? I mean, is this like 15, 30, 45 minutes?
Actually, that's a very good question. I think the lecture part of this bullying usually lasts anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. Now, the reason why I give a huge gap is because in some particular schools, and I don't want to label any schools, but some schools where there's a lot more discipline and there's a lot more strictness, I fly through the actual lecture because I try to limit the ad-libbing that I do or the animation that I actually do with the seminar. And then, of course, if it only lasts 15 minutes, then I like to spend the extra 15 minutes doing Q&A to see if they were paying attention. And I always like to bring pencils along with me so that when I do the Q&A section, if they get the answer right, I give them a pencil. And really that helps get the students a little more involved. However, if I go into a particular environment, and, you know, it varies from classroom to classroom, from seminar to seminar, and I get people who are engaging and who are laughing and who are enjoying my presentation, I will spend a lot more time ad-libbing, using my personality, commenting on certain areas that I seem to really get a rise out of them, and that means that my seminar can last 30 minutes. With that said, if my seminar does last 30 minutes, I am limited on time for Q&A, so I try to distribute pencils to all the kids as fast as I can or give them to the teachers. But I guess to answer your question, this is approximately a 30-minute lecture. I have a one-hour motivational speaking segment that I have to do on the 21st. And I tell you honestly, I'm really good at public speaking, and I love public speaking, more so with martial arts school owners than with children in schools. So what I'm trying to do is figure out how am I going to be able to speak for an hour and captivate these kids' attentions for that long. So that's going to be kind of interesting, but I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't necessarily need to go an hour. An hour is a very, very, very long time. So it's going to be interesting to see all the stuff that I do within that hour's time. And if you'd like to send me an email afterwards to follow up and see how I went, I'd be more than happy to share the results with you.
Okay.
Any other questions? One more question for you. Sure.
Yeah, one more. If you do this at your location as opposed to going into the public school system, do you charge for it? And if so, how much would you charge for it?
Well, that's actually a really good question. Me personally, I would not charge for it. I think that it's one of my goals and also one of my duties in my particular community to do as many community service activities as I possibly can. I charge for everything else. I charge for testings. I charge for parent nights. I charge for day camps. You know, so I also want to balance it out with free community events, and this would be one of them. Now, with that said, Eric, if you don't mind, I'd like to expand on really quickly on if you are going to do it at your school. I highly recommend that you market and you promote the event, even though it's free. You market and promote it just as you would with your regular programs. So in other words, doing flyers, creating posters, putting a bulletin up in your school, potentially creating an invitation that the students can give to their friends, posting it on your website, posting it in your newsletter, sending out an email news reminder about it on a weekly basis, sending out a press release, sending out a direct mail. You know, the more things that you do to promote the event, the better the results. And just like I was mentioning several times in this teleconference, my Schumann Concept member who I talked to about her seminar on bullying this past weekend had 175 attendance throughout the day. Now, it wasn't 175 people at one time. Again, like I said, she ran the age-appropriate classes, and then at the end, she actually had specific seminars on bullying, and one of the reasons why she had so many people at her particular event is because she did follow, I gave her 10 tasks that she had to follow, or 10 tasks to help promote the actual event, and that included the things I just mentioned, flyers, posters, a bulletin, invitations, email news, posting it on her website, announcing it in every single class, passing out or sending out direct mail pieces. So the more you do the month event, the better the results, and hopefully you're going to get some really good exposure, and you're going to increase people's impression of you. Like I said, one thing that I'm always looking for when I say, how'd you hear about us, is not, I got your direct mail piece in the mail, so I decided to come in and see what it's about. And it's not because I heard about your business, I just picked up the phone book. What I want to hear from people is, I've heard nothing but great things about you. And this is one of those events that can help help with that response.
Okay.
Any questions, Eric?
No, I think that does me for now.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else on the teleconference who have any kind of questions or any comments that they'd like to share?
Melody?
Yes.
This is Tom from Wisconsin.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I've been doing bullying since last year. Actually, I sent you over information on what we were doing. Not unfortunately, I actually had 2 hours of time to spend on bullying, and of course, we turned it into quite a bit of role playing with the teachers, and because we had all teachers as well as the kids, of course, we had teachers and the guidance counselors, which was excellent. And so we turned it into a lot of that. Plus, we also did a little bit of self defense at the same time, real simple, you know, get away, don't hurt, verbal kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And it worked, like I said, it's worked really, really well. We actually, this year, we're going into the school systems, and we're doing some in-service training with the actual teachers on bullying and trying to get, of course, our big thing is trying to get a no-tolerance policy that the school itself is working with, because we found that around here we don't have that. Or actually, they do have a no-tolerance to a certain degree, but nobody pays any attention to it.
Right.
And we find that's the bigger problem, you know, that's one of the bigger problems that we have. So, like I said, we put together an entire PowerPoint presentation that we give, plus, of course, a whole lot of speaking and having, you know, trying to have fun with it also, but keeping them kind of, try to make them understand what bullying does and how it affects people, and that's sometimes how we're able to get through to the bully.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times they don't even realize what they're doing, let alone or what kind of damage they're doing, and when you can point it out and do it in such a way that they can understand, because ours have always been just, as you said, middle school, junior high, and middle school kids.
Right, right. Well, you're absolutely right. That's a very good point. And, Tom, if I do recall, you sent me your PowerPoint presentation on your actual bullying seminar.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I actually recall seeing that, and I remember that I remember reflecting back on that and using it as a resource, and it was a great deal of information. Would you mind possibly, if somebody was interested in contacting you, to get some ideas on what you included in your PowerPoint presentation and even what you did in 2 hours, because 2 hours is a long time, but, you know, if you have a good plan, then the results can be fantastic. Would you mind sharing some of that information with other people?
That would be terrific. Not a problem.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Can you go ahead and give your email address right now in the teleconference? And then if you're paying attention and you'd like to hear more from Tom, they can email you?
Absolutely. Ours is here at the school is ABBAKICK@sbcglobal.net.
Very cool, and I really appreciate that, Tom. And again, like I said, I remember you sent me that a while ago, and I still recall the PowerPoint presentation because it was very professional and it was very comprehensive and very resourceful, and I was totally impressed. And I would like to, for you to keep me updated on how the no tolerance push goes for the schools in your community, because I think you're right. There are areas that do say that they have a no tolerance policy, but they don't really follow through. And I think that a lot of the bullying in our communities can be limited if these policies were enforced. So thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Was there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I was just saying, I agree with you when it comes to the high schoolers. But I really, that's kind of why we've gone, as you're doing the same thing, going into those middle school, junior highs, even a little bit earlier if we can, because if we can stop it then we don't have to worry about it once they reach high school. They're, you know, it's so much more limited.
You're absolutely right. I need to hire a big dude who can go into the high schools who can scare these kids and get them the thought. Every time I go into the high school, I end up getting more kids who are asking me how old I am, being interested in what I have to say as far as bullying or positive attitudes go. Thank you very much again, Tom, for sharing that, and just thanks in advance for sharing your information with everybody. It's always very cool to see people who are unselfish with their time and unselfish with their resources to help our martial arts community grow. I think if there were more people like you, Tom, who put a lot of thought and care into creating resources and then willing to share that with the industry, the martial arts would be twice as big as what it is right now. And we all know that the bigger our industry is, the better it is for all of us. So thank you once again.
You're welcome.
Anybody else would like to share their thoughts or have any kind of questions regarding bullying? Nobody else. Okay, well, great. I think that wraps it up for today. Thank you guys, everybody, for participating in this month's Member Solutions teleconference. If you do have any additional questions, don't forget that you can email me, melody@schumannconcepts.com. I also have plenty of resources on my Schumann Concepts consulting site. That's www.schumannconcepts.com. If you're not a member of Schumann Concepts and you are a Member Solutions client, don't forget to is that you do get an exclusive Member Solutions discount, and in order to receive that Member Solutions discount, all you have to do is send me over an email or give me a call, and I'd be more than happy to send you an exclusive Member Solutions rate. Also, don't forget that if you do have any kind of questions on bullying or back-to-school ideas or actually any questions for that matter, whether it's marketing, curriculum, instruction, operational procedures, management procedures, staff development, we are professionals here. One of my jobs is to consistently research and develop new ideas that are working. I single-handedly put a lot of information and ideas that are on my site and available through Member Solutions into my school in action so that I can identify what's working and what's not working, and I'd be more than happy to share my ideas and thoughts with you. And, of course, that's compliments of Member Solutions. So if you haven't already booked a 20-minute consultation, go ahead and do so now. Make sure you do it immediately. My schedule always gets booked. I think that's fantastic. I always appreciate talking to all of you guys, whether it's via email or the 20-minute consultations. People like Larry and Eric and Tom, you guys, we network a lot, and I think that's really cool. I really enjoy speaking with you guys. So don't be afraid to shoot me an email. Don't be afraid to book a 20-minute consultation. So that wraps it up for this month's Member Solutions teleconference. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Feel free to send us an email with your thoughts and comments on this teleconference. And also don't forget that the information that we provide you in this teleconference and the reports are all based on our members' requests. So this seminar on bullying was put together because several of you asked us for it. So if you have any ideas or you have any questions that you would like to see us cover in an upcoming Member Solutions report or an upcoming Member Solutions teleconference, shoot your Member Solutions representative an email or shoot me over an email, and we'd be more than happy to do the research and provide you with some comprehensive resources to help you with your particular topic. So I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Please keep in touch, and everybody take care.